Here's the title for that I've given us as we start to think about the temple being rebuilt. As in any great building project, you start from the ground and you work up the way. Hope is rising up from the ground. And what we'll see is that that's in the context of more than one way. And the way in which that unfolds is what we've just been looking in that passage from God's word is this. God shares a word. Here's how I want it to be. You're living in panelled houses, but my house is in ruin. And then also God calls them to walk with him. And will we get a glimpse of that walk as they start into this task of building. And those wonderful words of affirmation from the Lord. I am with you, declares the Lord. Well, as we're coming to look at this hope that's rising up from the ground, it's important to start with history. I love history. I could talk about it for hours, and I'll try not do that this morning. But I believe with firm convictions that history is vitally important. History has an important place to play in many different contexts. Whether we look at nations and their different experiences, whether we look at relationships between one another, again and again, history is important as we think about what has been, what is in the past, what's being faced right now in the present, but also what's on the horizon ahead. Well, we can look at lots of different contexts to see why this is important. Last year, Lynn and I had the opportunity to go to Berlin. My cousin was there doing a performance, so we went out to see her. Now, there's a city where any history buff can get really excited because there's so much going on. But this is a really important history as we look at their checkered past. We see there in that city the signs of the rise of fascism. We also see in that city the experience of war. Then later on into more recent history, the experience of living as a divided city. Of course, then there's the fall after the wall. After the wall comes down, there's all these things that unfold. Well, if you were to go to Berlin today, you would see that it's one big building site. There's lots going on. And within that, there's very much a look and a glance towards an understanding of the history. They understand what they're in the midst of, and of course on the horizon, there's going to be different challenges that come their way. What about other contexts? Imagine the example of a relationship, maybe between two close friends, or even siblings. I'm sure we can imagine a situation where perhaps hurtful words have been said, maybe actions, things that have been done that have brought that relationship to a low, low point. But from that place, understanding all that's been, from that place there's hope from the ground starting to rise up as bridges are built, as things start to get restored, put back on track, as people grow in love for one another. History is important, I'll say it over and over again. And if you want to speak to me about history, don't get me cornered because I'll end up going on for hours and hours. But what about for us here? Looking at the history of God's people and this momentous event as they start to rebuild the temple. Well, here's God's people. And they're starting with a fresh start. They are quite literally rebuilding from the ground up. There's great hope and great enthusiasm there as these things start to come to the fore. Well, as we were just thinking at the beginning there, the history is important for this. Let's just jog our minds about some of the important key points. That divided kingdom had fallen, they'd been there in exile because they'd walked apart from God. God has shown his judgment and allowed them to be taken captive into this foreign land. The temple that was once great in all its splendor was there in ruin, no more in its once glorious position. Things look pretty hopeless. Imagine then. Imagine how they would have journeyed with those words there in exile. Those words of the prophet Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. plans to give you a hope and a future. God had spoken those words through his prophet. Imagine how time and time again they would have been coming to those words during that time of exile. Well, it was after almost 70 years, there was a change in the leadership, and there was this glimmer of hope as the exiles started to return back to their city. They started to rebuild from the ground up. However, things got in the way along the line. They'd gone with great enthusiasm. They even started by building an altar in the face of all the neighbours around that weren't so keen on them doing that. And then with enthusiasm, they lay the foundation. There was weeping. There was also celebration as these events unfolded. But the neighbours that were around, well, they were a bit miffed that all of a sudden Jerusalem was starting to get power again. So they set about foiling these things. And in various different ways, they halted this great building project. From that point, though, because of that halting, they ended up turning their attention elsewhere. They looked inwardly instead of outwardly. They were looking after number one. They had their lovely panelled houses. But the detriment of that was that their relationship with God suffered. Well, it's in this context that the glimmer of hope, and then it kind of tripped up and stuttered a wee bit. How does that all come to be? Well, in that context, we hear a prophetic word. What do I mean by the word prophetic? Well, God speaks. God speaks through his messenger. In this instance, the prophet Haggai. And he calls them to great, great things. Here you are living in paneled houses. I want you to go and restore the temple. Restore that relationship. We see two things that are quite distinct in this. God speaking and God's people working on this relationship. And so those two points, a word from God and a walk with God. We're going to consider those two things briefly. But also I want us to think, well, what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us in light of all we've been celebrating at Easter time? What does that mean in light of what we face in a day-to-day experience? Well, firstly, hope rising up to the ground, a word from God that's spoken. As I'm sure you'll agree, it's wonderful to receive a personal letter or email or text. Something that speaks directly to our own situation. It's definitely more warmly received than a bill or a circular email or any of these things. When someone takes the time to write something down, to give it to you, and it's personal, it's such an encouragement and it warms our hearts. Even when at times, maybe those words have challenging things, maybe constructive stuff to address. Well, let me say this. God does not hold back when it comes to communicating personal messages to his people. We've seen that right from the word go, as God has spoken with, quite freely and quite openly, the people that he has called. Think back to Abraham. Think back to Moses. Think back to God's people and the way in which the prophets who listened to God and who shared that with those around, think about the way in which they spoke. They bring that light bang up today as we have and hold God's word, the Bible, and as we open it and look at how different instances, different words challenge us, different words encourage us in lots of different ways. God does not hold back when it comes to communicating personal messages. Well, God had a message, a personal message, for those who had returned from exile, the remnant that were coming back. Yes, they'd been frustrated in their initial attempts to build the temple. But then things had gone off the line a bit. They'd got comfy in their own position. And so here's the word that God speaks to them. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people, the people who have returned, the remnant of those who have been exiled, say this: the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. They're rationing on their own terms. How often have we done that? Then it says this: then the word of the Lord came through the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains in ruin? Is it time for you to be living with your nice surroundings whilst the place where the Lord dwells is there in ruins? Where's your focus? Where's your attention? Hear this word that is brought to God's people cuts right to the core. Yes, you're coming up with your excuses. Oh, it's not the right timing. How does it cut right to the core there? Hebrews 4:12 says this: the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. God knew the challenges that those people faced. God knew how they were getting on. And he also knew the detriment of them looking inwardly, thinking, oh, we'll just put off these things. We'll focus instead on our own nests, rather than this place where God dwells, where we can go and worship him. God knew that, and he said words that spoke right to the core of it. It was the word that was needed for that situation. And he calls them to go and to take action. And in that, we start to learn of this second bit: the call to walk with God and the assurance that he is with us. Well, what does that look like? One of the best known portions of Scripture, ones that we'll repeat over and over again, even people with little or no church contact will perhaps come to know in time, is the words of the 23rd Psalm. They're familiar and well-loved words. But in that, they talk of a journey with God. We hear about this relationship with likes of a shepherd. We hear about how that shepherd is leading the person, even though they're going through challenging valleys. What words of encouragement as we think of that journey with God? Well, as the Israelites start to get things back on track with the building of the temple, it points to this notion: a walk and a journey with God. Now, there they are building the temple. It's not all targets and deadlines. It's not having to finish certain things by certain times, so building control can come and sign it off, and all the rest, meet with planning permission, and all the rest. It's none of these things. It's God's people showing in a visible way that they want God amongst them. They want God's dwelling place here amongst their homes. These homes that, yes, are there panelled and they focused the wrong way in that instance. But they want God right there amongst them. They want that walk, that journey with God and all that they are experiencing. They're moving in here, in their hearts. And that's seen in the physical, as from the ground, this temple begins to get rebuilt, re-established. And as they navigate through that, as God encourages them, the words that resound are this: I am with you, declares the Lord. As he's stirring up these prophets, as they're speaking in different ways, that reminder and that assurance: I am with you. Yes, once upon a time you were thinking about your panelled houses and getting all that sorted out. Yes, you were thinking about number one. But now, as I have called you and spoken through my word, God says, I am with you. Oh, what a wonderful encouragement to read. What does this mean for us here today, though? There's two things that we want to point out here. Firstly, as we look at Easter, all that's unfolded there, there's wonderful news to think about. Hope rising up from the ground. There's great metaphors that we can point to there. We'll come to those in a moment. But also, as we've just been recalling about how the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, we have to realize that as we look at it, there might be things that are spoken quite personally to our own situation and our own circumstances. And we need to adopt a position that says, well, actually, I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to hear what you have to put on my heart. Well, what about rising from the ground up? Thinking about how God has spoken and how he journeys with us. The word that Jesus spoke after the resurrection, the words that he knew his disciples needed to hear were this: peace be with you. And then he journeyed with them and he explained things as they went along. Consider the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. Now it says that they were quite literally downcast. They'd had great hopes in their mind. They'd understood how things were going to unfold. But then to have seen Jesus on a cross, dying the death of a sinner, well, surely that must not have fitted in with what they were rationalizing in their head. They were in a pretty low place. But Jesus came alongside. He journeyed with them and he showed what these things meant. He explained. And he showed quite physically, quite literally, as he appeared amongst the disciples in lots of different instances, that from the ground, hope had risen up. Jesus spoke those things and also called people to them. He spoke words of encouragement as well, saying, I am with you. Just as we heard it spoken to those who were rebuilding the temple, Jesus spoke it to the disciples. These are the words that we often refer to as the Great Commission. It's the words that Jesus shares before he goes to be with his Father. He gives this charge to the disciples. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, this is the bit I really like, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus speaking that word, I am with you, but showing that walk with him. As we start to go back to school, start to get back to some kind of normality after all the events of Easter, we can remember and reaffirm these things again and again. As we look at what God did once with the temple, as he spoke his word and as he called people to walk with him, likewise, Christ came and spoke those words that he has risen, peace be with you. And with that hope, he calls us to a journey with him. Finally though, what about the individual? As I've been reflecting on it, as I've been journeying myself with these things, I realise again and again that God speaks so clearly through his word. Often when we're least expecting it, he challenges us with different things. Maybe that's going back to a familiar verse that we've not read for a long time. Maybe even the 23rd Psalm. Maybe that's a friend coming along and saying, well, have you read this recently? Or I read it and I thought of you. Or maybe it's even just in the day-to-day reading as we pick up God's word. God speaks to us so clearly. Yes, that could be a challenge at times. Perhaps that will be an encouragement that we need. Perhaps it will be words of challenge. Maybe if we walked apart from God. Again and again, we're reminded that God speaks to us and calls us to journey with him. Those words that were spoken as they were building the temple still resonate today. I am with you. Let's pray together.